thrilled that the Lord would find us worthy enough to be able to stand and declare His Word and what thus saith the Lord this morning. And I'm thrilled that you're here this morning to hear what the Lord has to say. And boy, what a wonderful service it's been. That song we sung in the choir, That Isn't Love, that song always tears me up. And I think every time before we start singing, I say, well, I'm not going to cry this time. And I can't get halfway through it. And when he starts talking about that old thief hanging on that cross beside him and how the Lord took him to paradise that day. Friends, that gets me excited. It breaks my heart. It just causes those tears to start flowing. You pray for me today as I try to preach. And we're going to be taking our text out of the book of Galatians over in the New Testament, Galatians chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 6 and 7. And when you get there, if you'd like to stand and for the reading of God's Word, and we'll read those together. Galatians chapter 1, start with verse 6. And the human penman here is the Apostle Paul, and inspired by God to write down these words. He's writing to the church at Galatia there, the Christians there. And we can take this also for ourselves because such truth that is here. But Galatians chapter 1, starting with verse 6, the Bible says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. I'd like to preach for a few minutes this morning on so easily removed. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the reading of your word today. God, I'm praying right now for you just to anoint me, Lord, to be able to open my mouth and let the words come from me. Lord, let the thoughts proceed, Lord, from the scripture. Keep me out of the flesh today. God, let us declare what you have to say from your word, and we'll give you all the honor and glory and praise for it, Lord, not me. Lord, hide me today. God, let you be seen. For it's these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Well, even as early as Christianity was during the Apostle Paul's time, there was a problem. We talk about the New Testament church and the early church, and we want to say we're a first century church. That's what we desire to be. We want to have that closeness. We want to have what they had when the church was multiplying on a daily basis and God was adding to the church and things were happening. But they also had a few problems that we tend to overlook as we harp on those old days back how it used to be. But these Christians obviously had a problem. They'd been taught the gospel. The Apostle Paul on his missionary journey there as he got to Galatia and this church formed and all these people came together, like-minded Christians. They got saved. Some of these were Jews. Some of these were pagans. Some Gentiles. There were some Romans. Some of these folks, but they'd all come to the knowledge of Christ through the preaching of Paul. He declared to them the gospel. And of course, that's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And trusting Christ as your Savior simply through faith and not through works or any kind of law that was given by man. And he taught them this. They knew this. They were in the doctrine. He'd been teaching them. But then Paul had to go away. Then Paul had other things he had to do. He had to go to other churches. He had to go to other lands. Had to go to other continents. Had to go to other places and tell them about the saving faith in Jesus Christ. Well, every time this would happen, every time Paul would get something established, some church, whether it be Ephesus or Galatia or wherever it may be, there would be a bunch of people come in behind him. You see, it's almost like they followed Paul. I don't know if they had GPS back then. I don't think they did. But if they had GPS, they had one on Paul's sandals. And they were looking for everywhere that Paul went so they could come in behind him like a bunch of old wolves licking their lips. And they would come into these churches. They would come to where they would congregate together, whether it be in a home or if they used the synagogues that were available. And they would come in. You would call these Judaizers, some of them would be called. But they were false teachers. They were heretics. They were wolves in sheep's clothing. They would come in looking all religious. And they would slide in there and then they would start teaching things contrary to the true gospel. They would teach things such as, oh sure, believe in Jesus, but believe in Jesus plus. Believe in Jesus and do this work. Believe in Jesus and be circumcised. Believe in Jesus and abstain from eating pork. Believe in Jesus and do this. And the Apostle Paul says, this is not even the gospel. And you've been so easily removed from it. I can't believe it. The Bible says that Paul said, I marvel. That means he was completely and utterly flabbergasted and amazed that the very people that he preached and taught to the straight gospel truth were so easily swayed by these people coming in teaching contrary. He couldn't believe it. He called them that they were perverting the gospel. They were turning it into something obscene, something that it was not. And Paul obviously had heard about this going on and how they were swayed and how these people were coming in and teaching contrary to the Word. Now, we can read this and we think, well, you know, I know better than to believe something like that. I know better than to believe something contrary to what my Bible teaches me. I believe what the gospel is. I know what it is. Without a shadow of a doubt, I believe it. And, you know, let me ask you this. If so many people believe it so strongly, if so many Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians and Lutherans, which are all kind of a like faith, kind of, if we can all believe this and say we know it's true and we believe this Bible that we read from, then how come this morning there are some Baptists who are not in the house of God, but rather they're over in some kind of a place, kneeling down on a mat, looking toward Mecca, and praying to some man named Allah? Why is there Baptists that has been brought up a Baptist, raised a Baptist, believed as a Baptist, said they got saved as a Baptist, and they're over there practicing the Muslim faith? Why is that going on? These same people probably would have said years before that, well, I know the gospel and what I believe, and I could not be persuaded otherwise. No doubt there's people here today, you probably think, well, there's no way that I could ever stray from what the truth and what's been known. Friends, what about when that Jehovah Witness comes to your door? We all know they're coming. They like to come around, creep around there on a Saturday, come up to your door wearing their white shirts and black pants and got their Bible that looks a lot like your Bible. Plus, they got this other thing underneath it. And they'll come and knock on your door and they'll say, I just want to share something with you. And oh, they look good. They're nice. They're clean. They're dressed up. They look wholesome. And boy, what they say sounds good. I mean, they'll take that Bible and it looks like yours. They'll open it and say, look right here what the Bible says. You believe that? Well, yeah, I believe that. That's the Bible I use. I believe that same thing. Well, let me tell you this. Do you know the Jehovah's Witness don't even believe that Jesus was the Son of God? They just say He was a prophet. Do you know the Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe in the Trinity? They don't believe God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Do you know that? But yet we see Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians all defecting from the faith and going over to a false religion, to a cult. Why? Why do they do that? Why are these people that once were strong in the faith, why are they wavering? Why are they so soon removed, so easily removed? And you laugh. That just couldn't happen. That just couldn't happen. Friends, it's happening all over the place. Let me tell you why. Just as the Apostle Paul is trying to instruct this church at Galatia, these people were not deeply rooted and grounded in the faith. Well, they heard it with their ears. They said they believed it in their heart. They said they were practicing the faith of Christianity. They said they believed in the gospel and trusted in that only. But when the first person come along and said, you know, what Paul said is kind of true, but you really need to be doing this too if you want to be saved. Oh, really? I wouldn't know that. Seriously? Well, we ought to start doing that then. You know, it sounds like what we used to do. Remember how we wasn't allowed to eat pork and Paul said we could? I knew there wasn't something right about that. And so they were easily persuaded to leave the Christianity faith and go over to this false teaching, this perverted gospel, so easily. They wasn't rooted and grounded in the faith and practices of the gospel. And Paul said, I marvel at this. I cannot believe, I am just amazed that you've done this. I thought I taught you better. What about the saving grace of Jesus Christ? What about that time I told you that it's faith in Christ and nothing else? What about that when you knelt down on that old altar with me and we prayed together and I cried with you and I said, do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? And you said, I do. Do you believe that if you placed your faith and trust in Christ that He would save you? I do. Would you call on the name of Jesus and be saved? I will. And I called on Jesus. I can't believe that you did that. And now you're over here practicing this perverted gospel. I am amazed and marveled at you. Let me tell you why people today are so easily removed. They don't know the Bible. They don't know this book. Oh, we all have one, don't we? You know how many Bibles I got in my pastor study? I counted them this morning. 41 Bibles in my pastor study. That's not counting the commentaries. That's not counting the study Bibles. That's just Bibles. 41 down there on the shelves. Now, am I opening every one of them reading them? No, I'm not. But I'm reading the one that I've got right here in my hands. But you know, almost everybody, you go and take a poll in this neighborhood, and I bet you go to every house down through here, and you'd say, excuse me, could I see your Bible? I bet you everybody in this neighborhood would go and they could find them a Bible. They could find a New Testament. They could find something their granny had or whatever. They go over to the coffee table, blow the dust off of it and say, here it is. But somebody all down this road here, you can go to every house, and almost everybody here has got a Bible. You go down to the Dollar Tree, and for $1 plus tax, you know what you can have? A King James Bible in your hand for $1. There is no excuse for anybody not having a Bible, but what there is no excuse for is those that have the Bible and they don't know how to open it. The Bible's been sitting on the coffee table as some kind of decoration. The Bible's been sitting in the car dash looking like an ornament. It's like one of those dogs with a bobblehead, but it's the Bible sitting there. And it's gotten cracked and weather-beaten. And they've never actually taken it and opened it up and said, well, that's what God said about that. And that's what's wrong with these people in Galatia. That's what's wrong with these people in the United States of America. We all own one. We have no idea what it says inside. Oh, I know John 3:16, Brother Byron. I know you do. You were taught that as a kid, wasn't you? That's all I heard when I was a kid, John 3:16. It used to be on billboards. It used to be in stores. You go in the store, look at the counter, there'd be a little sign out there of John 3:16 on it. You go around anywhere, John 3:16, everybody knows it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And right now some people are saying, there it goes again, John 3:16. I'm so tired of hearing that verse. I want to tell you today, we learned that when we were a kid because some people were concerned that people know what the Word of God said. Nowadays, they don't care. In fact, they want it done away with. You can't read that in school. You can't have that. Your teacher can't tell you about the Bible. Are you kidding me? Do you know in colleges today, they're running off professors that are Christian? You can go pick up a Sword of the Lord on your way out of the door this morning. There's some free ones right up there. You'll find a little bit of noteworthy news that's in there about things going on in religion today. And you'll find where college professors are getting denied promotions, they're getting fired and everything because they're Christians. Friends, it's going on all around us because people don't know the Word of God. They don't have that personal relationship with God. If they had these things, there's no way under heaven and earth that they could be so easily removed from the gospel. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church of Ephesus, Ephesians 4:14 says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Trust me, friends, they're out there and they're licking their lips. They're like a bunch of hungry wolves sitting around looking at a bone to gnaw on. They're licking them lips. They're looking at you. They're looking at the Baptists today and they're saying, who can I easily persuade to leave the faith and come over to my false religion? They're doing it today. They're looking around. They're in groups. They're in camps. They're in the schoolhouses today looking at your children. They want your grandchildren. They want your children. And they're indoctrinating them into these false beliefs. Why? Because people like us, we're sitting around with a Bible on our coffee table. We're sitting around with a Bible up in the dash of our car. We're sitting around with a Bible stuck in a drawer somewhere. And we're not opening it up and saying, kids, let me tell you what God said right here. That's what we're doing today in the United States of America. And then we see our children go over these false religions, Jehovah's and the Muslims and all these other things. And we say, oh my goodness, what's happened? What's happened to the world today? Friends, you know what we need to do? We need to go over, open up your bathroom door, walk in and look in that mirror and say, right there's the problem. Right there's the problem. It's me. I've not done my job. I've not told my children. I've not told my grandchildren. I want them to be my friends. I didn't want to offend them. Friends, some people need to be offended today if that's what it takes. Some people say, well, I don't want to go to church. It just seems so mean-spirited that talks about other religions and Muslims and things. I don't think they ought to do that, and I don't want to go there. I don't want my kids around that. Really? Well, friends, let me tell you something. I hear a lot of people say, you know, I like to go to church, and I like to hear a positive message because there's so much negativity today in the world. Everything's negative everywhere you look, and I like to go to a church where it's all positive. After all, the gospel is the good news, isn't it? It is. That's what the gospel means. But you know what the good news is? The good news is you don't have to die, and you don't have to go to the devil's hell and burn for eternity. That's the good news. And let me tell you this. If you want to hear a positive message, let me tell you this. Your children and your grandchildren, if they don't receive Christ, they positively will go to a burning devil's hell. That's a positive message right there. They positively will go to a burning hell. Friends, we've got to tell them today. Well, let me tell you something, sir. Let me tell you something, ma'am. People tell me all the time, I love my children to death. Now, I want them to make up their own minds. I want them to be well-rounded in the world and all the things and everything. Let me tell you a problem with that. 9 out of 10 children will pick the wrong way every time. We're not buddy-buddies with our children. You can be friends with them. You can be. That's not your goal. Your goal is to be their parents. Your goal is to be their grandparents and say, listen, grandchildren, let me tell you, I know your parents have failed in this, but let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you what's going to happen if you don't know Christ as your Savior. Let me bring you to church. Tell those children of yours that's not letting their kids come to church, tell them that one day those children are going to go to hell. And if they really love them like they say they would have them in church so they could hear the Word of God being preached. Friends, let me tell you today, these false religions, this Allah and Buddha and all these things like that, people getting down on a prayer mat and looking toward Mecca and doing all these crazy things, friends, they're doing nothing but sending themselves straight to hell. And they'll send your children right with them. Jesus says 3 times in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, about this place called hell. He said, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. You know, he said that 3 times in that same chapter, Mark chapter 9. 3 times, where the worm dieth not, where the fire quenches not, where the fire is not quenched. 3 times. A holy God, a 3 times holy God, he's holy, 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 says 3 times about this place called hell in that one section, the worm don't die and the fire is never quenched. And we think, boy, that just sounds like some of that old King James language to me. You know, I don't like all that. I don't like that. I want to read one of them other versions where it doesn't sound like that. That sounds kind of tough to me. Friends, when a 3 times holy God tries to tell you 3 times about your children, about yourself, about your grandchildren, that's going to go off and slip into a place called hell that will burn for eternity, you better listen. You better listen. You better listen well. Proverbs 22:6 says this, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. You better get little Johnny and little Susie or whatever their name is into the house of God to hear some real Bible teaching, some real Bible preaching. Get them in a Sunday school class where that teacher has spent all week praying and studying and had a heart for your children so that they might be saved, so you can tell them about Jesus. Get those kids in those Sunday school classes. Get those grandkids there. Oh, friends, get them here no matter what it takes. Get them in the house of God. They will not depart from it. Well, Brother Byron, now I know some people who's raised up in church and now they live like the devil. And there are those that do that. But you know what? The Bible tells me right here, you bring up that child and the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. When will that happen? I don't know. You know, I've got a cousin right now. He's living like the devil. He's living like the devil, and his daddy's heart is breaking. His daddy's heart's breaking. He'd do anything for him. Oh, and he prays for him. He requests prayer for him all the time. Oh, and that son, he's just rebelling. He's like that old prodigal son. Well, he's running off into that world trying to get in every mess he can get into. Oh, but that daddy loves him. That daddy brought him up in church. That daddy knows. Oh, one day, friends, that boy's going to turn around. That boy's going to know the truth. He'll be like that old prodigal son down in that hog trough fixing to eat those old husks. Eat with them old hogs, and he'll look at me and say, oh, my God, what have I done? Oh, God in heaven, oh, what have I done? Friends, you get those children. You get those grandchildren in your church. You get them in there. My friend, we need to get serious about the Word of God. We start reading the Bible. When you start reading it, we say we love it so much, but we just seem to want to talk about the Bible. I love that old blessed book. I love that old King James. I like that Bible. We talk about it a lot. We use it for decorations a lot. But are we reading it? Are we understanding what it says? James 1:22 says this, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. It's bad enough to deceive other people. But the Bible right here says if you're doing this, you're deceiving your own self. I mean, you're trying to fool your own self, think that you're this super Christian that believes this Bible when you never open it up and you never do a thing that it says. Friends, there's people today that are dropping off into hell. And you know, I think about this all the time. I think about this awful, awful picture. Think about the person that you love the most. Think about that little child that you love so much that you brought up. You think about everything that you did for them. Oh, you treasured them. You held them in your arms. You fed them. You took care of them. You brought them up the best you could. Imagine one day they're in a car, and that car catches on fire. And that little child is inside that car. That child you love so much, he's in that car. And that car's burning on fire. That little kid's in there screaming his lungs out. He can't get out of that car. He's screaming, "Help me, Daddy! Help me, Mama!" And you can't do a thing. You would do everything in your power. You'd try to get a hammer or whatever you could do, bust that car open and try to get that kid out. You would give your life for that kid if you could see that going on. Do you know that's going on every day in a real place called hell? And people are sitting around laughing about the house of God. They're sitting around laughing at preachers that get up and preach the word. They're laughing at these little grannies that go to church every time the door's open. They're laughing at the Christians sitting there, and their children are sitting on a couch on Sunday morning playing video games. They're watching cartoons. They're going to the mall. They're going to the movies. But they're not going to the house of God. They're not hearing that God says you must be saved. The Bible said Jesus came here to save sinners. He didn't come here to save video game players. He came to save sinners, and that's what they are. And friends, people are not knowing about it. They're not taking their children. And that same thing's happening. If they could get a picture in their head of that child burning forever in the devil's hell, I believe we have a wake-up call. Oh, people are not concerned. They're not concerned. They're not doers of the Word. They're only hearing. They may hear this message this morning. We broadcast this message over sermon.net and YouTube. And we get many, many people that listen to these sermons. There may be somebody sitting there today listening to this, laughing away at these Christians in here in the house of God. Friends, all the time, their child sitting there on the couch, slipping off into devil's hell. Because we're not rooted and grounded. We've been so easily removed. While we're on the subject, if you're not bringing your children up in the ways of God, if you're not doing what the Bible says, you're not doing all these things, you know what? One day, don't be surprised when you're sitting in front of an almighty God. I'm sorry, you won't be sitting. You'll be down on your face, on your knees, in front of an almighty God answering for these things. Now somebody said, "Brother Byron, now Christians don't get judged. We've been saved, we don't get judged." Hold on now, these two judgments. There's a judgment that the sinners go to. It's the great white throne judgment, the ones where they get cast into the eternal burning lake of fire. There's another judgment. It's called the judgment seat of Christ, which the Bible says plainly in several different places that we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and be judged for those things, both good and bad, that we have done in our bodies. You will be judged for this. What will you say? Friends, what will you say as you're on your face in front of a righteous judge, in front of the Almighty God, as you knelt down in front of Him and He says, I want to remind you of when you sat there in your house on Sunday morning and Sunday night and your child sat there on the couch and your child went to hell. I want to remind you of that. What are you going to say? "Oh Lord, I worked hard all week. You know, it was hard for me to go to church. Oh Lord, you know, there was nothing but a bunch of hypocrites down at that church and I didn't want to be part of that. I didn't want my kids part of that. Oh God, that preacher down there at Highland, he preached about things like that and it scared me and it scared the children. I didn't want to take them down there and hear that." Are you going to say that in front of the Lord that day? You won't. You know why? There won't be a single excuse in the world for you that day. As you kneel in front of Him and He says to you, "Look, I know all these things that you let go. I've seen everything good and bad that you've ever done in your life. What's your answer going to be?" You won't have one. We'll just be silent. All we can do is plead and beg for His mercy. Romans 14:10 says, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." The Bible's talking about Christians there. It's not talking about the lost. What will our excuse be? Well, while we're on the subject, What would your excuse be if someone walked up to you off the street and they said, you know, I see you come out of Highland Baptist Church every Sunday carrying that big black book in your arm. And you know, I got to thinking the other day, I heard something on the radio or on TV that kind of made me kind of worried about what's going to happen to me when I die. Could you take that black book there that you carry out of the church every Sunday and show me what the Bible says, but what I need to do, how I can be saved? Could you show me? How many people in here today can honestly say, I can show them. I can show them how to be saved. I can open my Bible and say, right here the Bible says this and that. How many could do that? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Think about it. You know, one day we'll answer for that. Brother Byron, there's a man come to you one time and he asked you how to be saved and you didn't know. What would I say? What would I say for a righteous judge? Oh God, you know, I tried. I did my best. The Bible says here that we must be doers of the Word, not just hearers only. What would we do? Could we go through the Bible and say, look, friend, I want to show you right here in the Bible, in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Could you tell them that? Could you take them down the Roman road? Could you keep going over there to Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Could you take them down that Roman road? Could you keep going down there to Romans 6:23? Could you do that? Which says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Could you take them down that road? Could you keep going over to Romans 10:9, which says, Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Can you do that today? Could you take somebody with the Bible and show them the way of salvation? Could you at least recite John 3:16 to them? Friends, these are important things to us. These are important things to the Lord. These are important. Now, I want to ask you this morning, if you're listening to this message, whether it's right here in the congregation, whether you're listening to this on one of the places we broadcast it, I want to ask the question this morning. How easily removed could you be from the truth of the gospel? Could you be easily swayed? Could the JWs come to your house with their Bible and persuade you otherwise from what you've been taught, the true gospel? Could they do that? Be honest with yourself this morning before you go ahead and get all self-righteous and say, no way, Brother Byron. Remember those people that have been. Remember those Galatians that sat under the preaching of probably the most important man besides Jesus Christ that ever walked the face of the earth and told them the truth of the gospel. Remember, they were easily swayed. Friends, let's not get too self-righteous yet. Before you answer, I want you to deeply think about it. Have you ever truly been saved? Have you ever truly been saved? Has there ever been a time in your life when you come to the realization that you were lost? You were without hope. You had no way to go to heaven on your own. Have you ever come to the realization that you are a sinner? That everything about you is separating you from God? Has there ever been a time when you did that? When you knew without a shadow of a doubt, I am lost. And if I died in the next second, if I opened my eyes, I don't know where I'd be. If there's anybody in here like that, or anybody listening to this message this morning, if you don't know without a shadow of a doubt, if you close your eyes in death where you would wake up the next minute, friends, you need to get right with God. You need to seek God now while He can be found. You need to call upon the name of the Lord. You need to put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, because there's no other way. There's no Allah. There's no Buddha. There's nothing like that that's going to save you today. The Jehovah Witnesses can't save you. You can only be saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. He's the only way to the Father. The Bible says the only way to the Father is through the Son. There's no other way. Friends, we must know that today. Your children must know that. Your grandchildren must know that. Your friends must know. Your neighbors must know. Your family must know. Everybody you come in contact must know this. If they don't, they will go to that place the Bible says is a burning lake of fire. And they will not get out. It's eternity. Just as heaven is eternal, so is that place called hell eternal. If I have to preach the paint off the walls to convince people of that, I will do it. If I have to offend everybody that ever walks in front of me, if I have to do that, I will do it. Because they got to know They got to know. Oh, Brother Byron's a fanatic. He's a lunatic. He's one of them Christian crazy guys. Friends, I don't care what you call me, but let me tell you this. If you're not a Christian today, you will go to that place called hell. And there's no coming back from there. This is a real thing today. I want everybody to come. I want you to come and play something to get the invitation song. We're doing page 390. Page 61. I'm sorry. Page 61 in the Inspiration Hymnal. Do you know my Jesus? And I want us to stand together. And I want us to pray. If you're a Christian today, I expect you to be praying for those that may be lost. And as we sing this song together and we close our eyes, I don't want you looking around. I don't want you seeing what your neighbor's doing. This is all focused on yourself this morning. Your relationship with God. If you've not been saved and you know that, I want you to pray with me. Let's all pray. Pray together. Heavenly Father, I'm asking for your help today in this invitation. Lord, if there be one in this service today that is lost, Lord, they've never accepted Christ as their Savior. Lord, would you convict their heart? Lord, would you show them the need to be saved before it's too late? God, if there's one here today that's like that, would you convict them with your Holy Spirit, your power? God, we've preached the message, all that we could do. God, it's all in your hands now. If there's one in here today, everybody's praying, everybody's got their head bowed and their eyes closed. Is there one here today that don't know they're saved? You don't know. If you left this building today and you passed away, would you open your eyes in heaven today? If you don't know that you would you slip up your hand and say, Brother Byron, pray for me. I don't know. Would you do that? I don't know, Brother Byron. I want you to pray for me. I'm not going to ask you to come up here. Are there those here today that are backslidden? You're in a spot you know you don't need to be in. You've strayed from God. You've not been faithful. You're doing things you ought not. Do you need to get right with Him today? Do you need to get things turned around? You need to rededicate today? Would you be honest with yourself and God and say, God, I need help. Would you slip up your hand and say, Brother Byron, pray for me. I need help. I need prayer. I'm not going to ask you to come down. I'm not. I'm not going to come and call you out. Slip up your hand and say, pray for me. I need prayer. Is there one? Father, thank you for the message. Lord, you know the hearts of each person here. Lord, I ask that you keep dealing with them. God, those that are resisting, God, would you convict them, show them their need. God, I pray for those that are lost today. I pray, Lord, that we'll be sincere in the Word. God, we'll be doers and not hearers. Lord, we'll tell people about Jesus. Thank you so much, God. We love you. We thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. And it's these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. They continue to sing this one last verse. You still have opportunity, and then we're going to close the service. This one last verse.